Hey, Icing Funners. So I have something to tell you about. I am part of a comedy network called All Things Comedy, which is amazing. It was started by Al Madrigal and Bill Burr, two great comedians. They also have podcasts on this network. And it's made up of a group of 60 comedians. We all, some of us have advertising, but basically we all do our podcasts for free. We're not part of some huge corporate or overlord that pays us to do it. And we want it to be run our own way, so no one tells us what to do. So each individual podcast can be run by the podcaster. But what's happening is that there's going to be a new studio in Hollywood that's going to be up and running so that all the comedians that do podcasts and All Things Comedy can have access to the studio. They have interns, they have the whole system of All Things Comedy has people working for it that help us all out with our podcasts. And so they're having a fund drive for the new studio. They're looking to raise $10,000 this month. And if you go to tubestart.com is the website, but you can also go to my Facebook fan page for I Seem Fun. It's facebook.com/iseemfun. And the website that it's going to take you to is tubestart.com. And you can probably search that for All Things Comedy. And basically, there's 27 days left. They've raised almost 3,000 of the $10,000 goal, and it's just to put the new studios, keep it up and running uncensored every day in Hollywood. So, if you donate, you can donate as little as $5 or $10. You can donate more. You can get t-shirts or decals or mugs for your donation, or you can just donate and say, "I don't want to get anything, thank you." But it's all there, and you can pay through PayPal or put it on your credit card or whatnot. So, I hope you will take a look at that and help support it, because there are some days that I might actually end up recording in a studio. Oh my God, don't worry, I'll bring my entire apartment in there so it seems authentic. And then the other big thing is the show I'm highlighting this week on the podcast is my Boston show, December 26th and 27th. I will be at Laugh Boston. It's the first time I've performed there. You know, I haven't really done a proper show in Boston in so long. You know, I opened for Chelsea this year and I did my book tour just for one night at a really small rock club like almost 2 years ago. So, it's going to be great. It's going to be my stand up. If you've seen me recently in Boston, there will be new stuff. It's going to be a little crazy. I always have a little bit of a holiday theme. There might be some crazy singing. There's going to be candy canes handed out. There's really funny people opening up for me. It's going to be this great celebration, like I said, about just keeping things light in the darkness, right? After you've seen your family, please come have some drinks at my show. Have a good time. It's going to be the Crazy Jen Kirkman Holiday Show. It's going to be super fun. I really want all four shows to sell out. That is my dream. That is my Christmas wish for myself. Because then I get a big bonus if I do. Shh, don't tell anyone that's how it works. But secondly, a lot of people in my family are coming, and there's still people that think they can't believe I do stand up for a living and that I'm a big loser. So if I have a lot of people in the crowd that they don't know, they'll be like, "Oh my God, people like her." And I think it's a great Christmas gift. I'm telling you, even if the person that you're buying the tickets for doesn't know me, I think you'll have a good time if at least one person in your group knows me. It's going to be great. And so please do that. It's at jenkirkman.com/tour dates, or you can go to laughboston.com, and it is spelled properly, LAUGH. And it's a beautiful new comedy club. And I think you're going to love it, right? So please do that. And that is again December 26th, 27th. Tickets are on sale now. Why not make it a Christmas gift, a Hanukkah gift, a we're not religious gift? Just make it a gift, a lightness in the time of dark. Okay, here's this week's episode. I see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jen Kirkman.
Look at my face. My name is Might Have Been. My name is Never Was. My name's Forgotten. Hey, so glad you could make it. Yeah.
I Seem Fun, The Diary of Jen Kirkman, episode, I think it's 77. I don't know. I kind of don't count last week's.
When I wake up in my makeup, it's too early for that dress. Was it invaded somewhere in Hollywood? I'm glad I came here with your pound of flesh. No second feeling, 'cause you're a star now. I'll see.
band, Courtney Love, or Hole. What a great fucking band.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. She's crazy.
Yeah. She's fucking nuts. Give me, I'll give you a list of people who aren't crazy, who entertain you. There'll be a blank piece of paper. In my makeup, have you ever felt so used up as is? It's also sugarless. Hooker waitress. Billy Corgan wrote that song. Who gives a shit? Billy Corgan writes you a song, you play it. She's full of poison. She obliterated everything she kissed. If Billy Corgan came over to my house and showed me some guitar riffs, as the kids say, I'd be like, I can't play. I tried. I'd had guitar lessons. My sister's a musician. My oldest sister, Linda, is a musician. Oh my God, everything's gone out of control. Hang on. Whew. Sorry. My older sister, Linda's a musician. She'd only lived at home until I was four. And then she left for college, four or five. She's 14 years older than me. So she would, show me guitar, but I, tiny little baby person hands. But then I always loved the guitar, and she left one of her acoustic guitars behind, and I would do my own version of playing it, which I'm sure was just banging on the back of it like a drum, and then, how a child would play guitar. And then in sixth grade, we had music lessons in school. This is before the arts were cut from everything. But we had music class, and I took a guitar lesson. And it was, I think it was Dream On, a song that is a recurring theme on the I Seem Fun podcast. Aerosmith's Dream On, I learned how to play. I'm sure I learned the baby basic version, but my hand was destroyed. I'm sure I still had little baby person hands when I was 11. But I had blisters, and I was like, this is hard. And then my friends in high school tried to give me guitar lessons, and I think I learned to play some Smith song or something. I don't remember, but it was just, it was hurting too much from acoustic to electric. So I don't care if people say she didn't write her own songs. Neither did Neil Diamond, and neither did Elvis. Neil Diamond wrote most people's songs. He wrote all the Monkey songs. So listen to me. Don't be pigs. I love Hole. I like Courtney's solo stuff, too. I like it all. It's a Kurt Cobain, some genius. I mean, he was great. But we all know that Smells Like Teen Spirit is more than a feeling. It's also a Pixie song. He said so himself. You can hear it. Still amazing. But let's not go so crazy against this woman, okay? Not that anyone has. I just don't want to hear it. Not that I'm going to have to hear it. I think everyone on Twitter is muted. Oh, my God. I know this sounds like I'm in a bad mood today. I'm in a great mood today. Great mood. This is a morning recording. It's early afternoon. Oh, who gives a shit? You're going to find out. A scientist ran a test. Fuck the haters. Wait, what are you doing? Why are you just yelling that from out there? That's usually what you say when you're leaving.
I don't want to come in.
What do you mean you don't want to come in? What are you doing?
I just found out something. I don't like it.
What do you mean? What did you just find out? Come here. Come here. Sit in the bed with me. What are you talking about? Well, I thought fuck the haters was a really nice thing to say. Because don't cry. It's okay. I'm not, I can't stop once I start. So just give me it. You want me to tell you, don't you? No, it's all right. I want you to tell me. Okay, well, I'm going to cry during it. I love what they hear. Is it really? Here, can you get on the mic more? Okay. You want some water? Here, take some water. I thought fuck the haters was like a nice thing to say to you, and like I just found out that you have a T-shirt that says fuck the haters, and like people are buying it, like men and women. And I listened to your podcast.
Wait, you haven't listened to it before?
Just wait. Oh, sorry. And you are making fun of me. I was being nice to you.
Okay, well, here's the thing.
So, fuck the haters is like coincidence or something?
Is it coincidence? No, it's, what do you mean? You mean ironic? Am I saying it ironically?
Yeah, the thing that means you don't really mean it, but you're making fun of it.
Well, actually, I guess that's more satire. It might actually be more satire. I don't know, but it's not coincidence. I know that. But no, I'm not. I know you're being nice, but that's kind of... I'm trying to expose the differences in the generations, right? Like, so I imitate my mom, who I love, and we're very close, but she has certain things she says that are indicative of a time she was raised in, you know, her generation. Like, I can't think of an example right now, but I do it with love. And you, I'm saying, you know, that younger people tend to water every argument or things that even aren't an argument. They tend to paint with this brush called fuck the haters. And I think that's a good philosophy. I mean, you're saying, you know, do your thing and don't let anyone stop you. But I'm, you know, as someone who's 40, I've already gone through that realization that that's a way to live, and I have already been living that way. So I just find it kind of funny, almost cute, when young people tell me, "Hey, fuck the haters!" Like, "Oh no, I know, but we're not taught." Like, anytime someone says "fuck the haters" to me, it's about a thing I wasn't worried about. You know, like I can't explain it.
I'm sorry I'm young, but, like, I can't be any older than I am because I was born in 1996, and so, like, how old I am is how old I am.
No, I know, I'm not, like, yes, I was young, you'll get old, it's all good. I'm just saying, like, there's certain things you have to understand that might really hurt your feelings, but I'm not being mean. It's not humor at your expense. It's humor about, oh my God, you know, this is this funny thing to say. And then it kind of is true. So there's kind of like a cuteness to that. But what I mean is like you seem so supportive of me, right?
I am. I'm like, seriously, fuck those haters. I'm like, seriously, like literally, like fuck them.
Right. Okay. Figuratively. But I get what you mean. So what I'm saying is, you come in here every time I'm recording this podcast and you tell me to fuck the haters and, but then you just told me that you just for the first time listened to it. So you're my biggest supporter, but yet you spend your time interrupting a thing I'm doing and then you don't even support that thing. And then you're telling me to fuck the haters, but I don't think you're understanding the irony is in that you are actually behaving worse than a hater. A hater just hates. I might not even know they hate me. They might talk about it at Thanksgiving with their family, but you're actually interrupting, making this about you, and then not even supporting the product. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm not going to support it anymore because I feel like you just use this whole thing to make fun of me.
I don't. I don't even want you to be part of it. To be honest, seriously, it was just supposed to be me, a solo podcast. I don't have guests, but you come in here all the time. So if you just listened and stopped coming in here, then this whole thing would end. Does that make sense to you? But as long as you keep coming in while I'm recording, you're part of it. And if you don't listen and keep telling me that you don't listen, that's going to make me nuts. Does that make sense?
I don't know. I'm just not going to listen anymore, okay?
That's fine. But about, you know, then you keep coming in here.
Okay, well, I just need to sit here for a minute because I want to fix my mascara because I don't want to go out. I want to go outside. I've been crying. So can I just sit here?
Yeah, you can sit here.
Okay.
Well, you have to get under the covers.
I just want to lay down for a second.
Okay. All right, you sit here while I finish. Okay. Episode 77, I Seem Fun. So much to talk about. I am recording from my bedroom on a Tuesday, so this will go up tonight, I hope, at some point, or maybe Wednesday morning. I have some shout-outs to give. I was just in Cleveland this past weekend at Hilarities. Shout-out to Rachel and Nick. Ooh. I think Nick said he would shit himself if I gave him a shout-out, so I hope you are wearing a diaper, or maybe you're already sitting over a toilet. Oh, wait a minute. My friend just got a job. Did he get the job? Get the job? Okay. Rachel and Nick came to my show at Hilarities, and they brought me a copy of my book, and it had a bunch of signatures on it, and I was like, oh, did you get other people to sign this? And they're like, no, you signed it. They've come to see me three times. I forget where they said they lived. I think they said upstate New York. And they have traveled the country a couple times to come see me. Now, I don't understand it. I really don't. Like, do you understand? I think I'm, I don't mean like, oh, I'm good enough for you people, but I think I'm funny enough. Like, I understand someone is liking what I'm saying. And I like the things I talk about on stage. I wish I could get them better and better. But like, when I look at comics I love, like Chris Rock or something, I'm like, who would go see anyone but him? Like, why is anyone else doing comedy? Like, so it's so weird to me that anyone would like to see what I'm doing that much. But God bless. And I know you have, I know that they explain to me, they make trips out of it and they do other things. And we're just like driving down. I get it. Still, it's really nice. And I hope you know that if you see me multiple times in a year, that my act is always morphing. I'm always adding new bits in here and there. And then in 2015, it'll be like mostly like half to three quarters new. So don't worry if you've seen me more than once. You're like, wait, I saw the same thing. That's because you're coming to different places. But that's not, it will change in the new year. And then my computer just froze. And then I got, then an awesome chick, is it, see, my computer just froze as I was looking at her name, but I believe it's Haley. She lives in Cleveland. And she's in a band called the Pleasure Leftists. And she gave me an album. And she also gave me a book. I forget the name because it's somewhere. Wait. Ah. Oops. I just dropped everything when I was recording. Sorry. My book is somewhere on the other room on a shelf. And I'm too... But I think it's the history of psychotic women. It's like women in entertainment who've been psychotic, whether it was a character or something like that. Which is great. So I haven't opened the album yet. I was going to play a cut of the Pleasure Leftists. Oh, whoops. Hang on. I think I had it on the wrong RPM, as the kids say. Okay. Oh, aren't records great? So everyone go check out the Pleasure Leftists. This is a song called Nature Feeling. I hope she doesn't mind that I'm playing this. I hope my record player is doing it justice. It kind of sounds like old Cure a little bit, like in a good way. I hate when people say what things sound like I shouldn't. All right, everyone, don't sue me, Haley, for playing your record. I love it. It's giving me that atmospheric Susie Cure vibe. Susie Sue. Oh, whoops. I love record players. I think mine is just one of those Crosley ones that's like those Urban Outfitter douchebag record players. I had a real one. I mean, I've had so many real ones in my lifetime, but
you know, my mother can't run like a junk storage shop for me. You know what I mean? Hang on. Now I sound like a complete asshole because I'm about to say the worst sentence after talking about a record player, but my typewriter just fell. Oh, shit. Shit. Ah. I just broke this little part off my record player. Okay, my typewriter. I have a vintage typewriter. I was trying to prevent it from falling, and now I'm just trying to get the, you know, when you type and you, and then you, oh, here it is. My agents bought me a vintage typewriter called a Princess, and it's from the 50s. It's made in Germany, and it was for people who travel on business. And it's seriously so fucking heavy. I couldn't even bring it as a carry-on on my flight. So I don't know what, you know, and I hope no Nazi used this. I hope no Nazis used this typewriter. But I think that, I think Hitler had been defeated by the time that this typewriter was made. Oh, isn't that a cool sound? Anyway, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It comes in this beautiful leather carrying case. And it's on top of my, it's, I have this little area in my living room that has like an old fashioned trunk and a record player and a beautiful old vintage typewriter. But it's not like douchey, like ironic. I actually used record players and typewriters in my lifetime before there, I had any other options. So, and they look really cool. Okay. So those are my shout outs. Thank you guys for coming. You all were really nice. And again, nobody has to bring me any gifts at all. That is never a requirement. Okay. So now my computer's frozen. See, a typewriter would never freeze. Fuck the haters. Where you go? Are you leaving? Are you leaving? You leaving? Okay, she just got up and left. She must have been, she must have finished with her makeup when I was in the other room. That was weird. I didn't mean to make her sad. I didn't. The t-shirts that I have for sale, fuck the haters, they're available on my website, jenkirkman.com/merch. I didn't mean to be mean. It's not supposed to be mean or anything. I do have some more. Listen, I have a box of I Seem Fun and Everyone's Fun is Different t-shirts. They're unisex, they're men, they're women's. I don't know what I have. I have to drop the box off to Angelo at Estoy Merchandise, who does all my stuff, but I literally just, like, when I'm home, I can't be driving an hour each way to drop this off, and I've just been so crazy busy, so I know I'm an idiot. I should have just mailed them to him at this point, but it's hard for me to get little things done like that. I'm just always, every second I'm awake, I should be finishing this book, because it needs every second of attention, and so anytime I find myself wandering off and doing nothing, I'm like, wait, go back to the book. So it's hard for me to get little things like that done. Okay. So, that's it. Okay. So yesterday, so what is it? Today's November 11th. Oh, Veterans Day. Was yesterday? Because I don't work a normal job anymore, so I don't know what the day off was this week. But happy Veterans Day to all who have served and not served. I like to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project, because we tend to fuck over our veterans with health care and that kind of thing. I'm not really big into, like, blindly just saying support the troops, because I don't really, you know, I think that, well, I don't want to get into it. I wasn't going to get into that. I think I feel like during Vietnam, it was like the first time that people were angry at soldiers as though, like, they were the ones that sent themselves to war. It's very interesting to look back on that time now that we have such a hugely volunteer army. that people were spitting on soldiers who came back, like, it's so odd to me. So I understand back then, like, support the troops in the sense of, like, don't let the morale of the country go down. And try to understand that these people are not the ones throwing themselves into a war. They're not making the decision to go to war. But then at the other hand, I feel like support the troops is a way of saying, shut up, don't want to talk about complicated issues, shut up. And it's like, if you really want to support them, like, half these, you know, psychos that hate me, I get, you know, well, I don't anymore, but hate mail I would get from, like, and when I say right wing, I don't even know what I mean. Don't get offended if you're Republican. I just mean, I don't know. It's like this certain kind of person. It's an ideology. It's not Republican. It's not Tea Party necessarily. It's like this person that it's like the lady in the live, laugh, love lady in her cubicle. Like, you jerk, you don't support troops. Like, well, actually I vote on things that does make a difference in their lives. I used to sponsor a soldier and send him shit in Iraq, and I make donations to wounded warriors so that they can have, like, post-war health care. And I went to fucking Walter Reed and talked to a bunch of, like, I spent a day there and just sat with people and listened to their stories. Don't fucking tell me who I don't and do support. Don't put a bumper sticker on your car. You're not a hero because you put a bumper sticker on your car, you know? And I don't even want to be the liberal that says, support the troops, bring them home. Maybe people like their job out there. I don't know. Maybe people don't want to come home. I don't want to speak for anybody. I just want to say, if you do your job and your country is calling you a hero, and every speech that every goddamn politician makes from every party who's like, the troops. And I see, you know, entertainers talking about the troops, trying to get the audience on their side. Fuck all of you if you don't do shit to help them once they get back home. They do their job, and when they're back here, they should be taken care of for life, healthcare-wise. I mean, we all should, but so give me your support the troops bullshit if you're just talking about a bumper sticker. Okay, well, here I go starting off. What? I was in a great mood. I still am in a good mood. I don't like to talk I don't even know if that's political, but I don't like to talk politics because it's not, I don't have politics, really. I don't care. Everyone upset about the elections, this one, that one. Oh, I don't care. I mean, I do. The thing I care about as a woman is, we're not going to get anything done when these certain Christian right whack faces are constantly running on taking away a woman's right that has been legal since the 70s to have autonomy over her own body by making family planning. Okay, so that is what drives me crazy, because they have those whack jobs screaming, and then you have people voting for them based on that because they've been told their religion wants them to. And then the other side has to spend all their time just not giving what their ideas are to make the world a better place. They spend all their money and all their stuff trying to defeat the people yelling loudly about abortion. And we're not going to get anything done. Like, okay, we got it. Like, but you got to accept that it's legal. And so calm the fuck down, right? Now, when the people that aren't trying to dismantle women's rights, they don't, maybe they have other good ideas too, like infrastructure or the environment or new ways to keep the economy going or whatever, paying off debts. I don't know. Maybe they have ideas. Maybe they don't, but maybe they do. Who's going to have time to hear them when it just makes me crazy. I don't even know. I just think everyone's a fucking moron. I really do. And the two people I like, everyone thinks are crazy. I'm kind of a socialist in a way. I like Bernie Sanders. I like Dennis Kucinich. Now, I know that makes me look like a lunatic. But if anyone thinks Obama is anything like these people, you should jump up and down three times and say, blah, 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 blah. Because it's not. I don't like, President Obama is not a president that I feel has represented my values. Now, I didn't vote for him, so who gives a shit? I'm not like, what, you let me down. I voted for him the first time as a protest vote against Sarah Palin. I hated having to make a protest vote. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I think Russell Brand is talking about, too. But enough with that lunatic. I think it's dangerous when comedians start naming their books like Revolution or something. You know what I mean? Then again, it's like, well, you know, sometimes a sense of humor is the best way to get through to people. Who knows? I guess everyone has the right to say everything. And that's the other thing. I also hate when people say, like, actors shouldn't be politicians. Why not? It goes hand in hand. It goes hand in hand that you have, you know, a lot of actors are very empathetic, idealists. So are politicians, right? Sometimes they're, you know, psycho, money-grubbing, crazy people, and sometimes they're a little bit of both. I mean, I think being a politician is one of the most complicated personalities I've ever fucking known in my life. Like, I'll take something like the Clintons, okay? And I know friends who, like, have wealthy parents who are on all these committees, and they've known for years that Bill and Hillary have never been, probably not since college or since when they conceived Chelsea, they've never been a romantic couple. I don't mean like they're not, I mean they're not even, they haven't, probably haven't slept together in decades, right? So even when the Monica Lewinsky scandal came out, what I've heard is that that was, you know, Hillary was mad because it only hurts their little empire they're creating, the two of them, as these like very influential political people. It's not, oh, my man cheated on me, you know, but then you have to pretend that it's that and I forgive him. Well, of course you forgive him because they're a corporation, they're in business together, which I don't think is a bad thing. I'm just saying that's how I see them, right? And I don't mind people like that as long as that's what, because I do think they're doing great things, you know, like, and I know they've done some shady things too, but I'm talking overall, I think they've made a positive difference in the world. I do think they're probably money-hungry psychos who want power, but I think they've got some good stuff but to back it up. They're not these, like, let's grow our own plants, like, idealists. No. I look at someone like George W. Bush. George W., was that the one we just had? Not the father, the son. I look at someone like him and I go, this is a complicated person who I don't even think, like, it's truly fascinating to me when you look at the psychology. Like, Bill Clinton to me was from this, you know, alcoholic family. Like, mother didn't give him enough attention. He's a classic codependent, and he ran to get the love of his mother, right? He ran to fix things because he couldn't fix his own home. Is that good or bad? Am I saying that's admirable? I'm not. I'm saying that's a psychological profile. And then the psychological profile of George W. Bush, here's someone who I think was probably like, oh, fuck, now I'm president. Like, he got in. I feel like he was running for the attention of his father and to, like, not avenge, but to tell his brother to fuck off. And, you know, oh, you don't think I can do this? Well, yeah, I can. And he does it, and then he's there. And I feel like he probably doesn't have that many hard and fast opinions about certain things. I think he, you know, he obviously had a lot of people helping. And yet certain things he did, if you just read the list of things he did, you would be like, oh, obviously a liberal did that. And they didn't. Like, his work with AIDS was unbelievable when compared to Ronald Reagan, who wouldn't even admit really that AIDS was a thing. Like, George Bush's, like, Africa AIDS relief stuff is just, you know, great. Right. And but then you have like Nixon, who is like an alcoholic, insecure, reclusive, paranoid. He was just a paranoid, you know, and ultimately that's what took him down. Like, it's not like he had, I mean, if you look at him now, he'd be like a moderate Democrat. Like, Nixon was the last president that tried to pass the Equal Rights Amendment, which is insane that we don't have one. It's insane that we don't have one. And it's very easy to pass. It's one of the, I believe it's one of the presidential executive orders, if that's the right word. I'm probably saying all this wrong, but it's, I believe it's one of the things with the, they call with the swoop of a pen, the president can put in. You don't have to keep voting on it and all this shit. I can't believe Obama doesn't do that. That's disgraceful to me, but whatever. But Nixon, you know, created the EPA, wasn't afraid of, like, looking into alternative energies for fuel. Like, he was not the certain type of Republican that we have now in some pockets. And so I just am very interested in, I feel like anyone who's a politician, like I was just yelling about, you know, musicians, people in the arts who are crazy, like anyone in that position has some damage, not because they are going to two things. I think some people are power hungry and those people are always a little fucked up. I think they lack empathy, right? And vision. And then some people, just like all of us, have issues, and that plays out in the way we handle our lives. And so, but when the way you handle your life is also like being in charge of things, it's just interesting to see. So I guess my point is, I don't have this love affair with politicians in my party that some people do, because I don't have a party. I'm a woman without a party on many levels, without a political party, without a party that I want to go to, right? And if I had to pick from the big two, Democrat, Republican, yeah, I guess I fall under more of the Democratic, I don't, you call it, issues, you know, whatever, the things I want, but it, like, makes me nauseous to have to pick that. Just, ugh. So, and I know performers do that all the time. Like, I don't care if you're right, left, Democrat, Republican. Oh, shut the fuck up. You do. People just say that so everyone likes them. I don't give a shit if anyone likes me or not. I don't want to argue with people about this stuff. I just want to say that I can't get all panties in a bunch about the midterm election, because it's just, I think it's insane. I think the whole thing is insane. I think we just blow up the whole system and try something different. I don't, because nothing's getting done. Not even like good or bad. Does that make sense? Like everything is just stuck. And I bristle when like these old white dudes that keep like resurfacing like vampires keep getting elected. It's not because they're white. I don't like them. I'm just saying, like, literally, like, people who have, like, dinosaur ideas. You're like, all right, get out of here. Like a Pat Robertson type of person, which I know he didn't get elected, but people like that. Like, I just don't want the religious right running anything. It does make me a little nervous with the Christian right. Well, that was my disjointed babble about midterm elections. Jesus Christ, Jen. I was going to talk about the holiday season, and here I've gone. Here I go again. Anyway, so let me take it back. Take it back. I was in Cleveland, Ohio this weekend performing at Hilarities. It's a wonderful club. I have not been there in 8 years. The last time I was there, I was the feature act, the opening act for Maria Bamford. And the people that run the place totally remembered me, and they were so sweet. They're like, we have pictures from you last time you were here. And I'm like, you do? And I was a baby. I look like a baby in a crib in those photos. I always think I look young. And then I see a picture of me from 8 years ago. I'm like, oh, that's youth. I just don't look busted. But I think I need to stop saying I look young. I think I actually look my age. So it's a big place. So it's 400 people. It's hard to get, you know, I probably had close to 300 a night, a show, I mean. Maybe 250, and you feel like such a loser. You're like, 250, but 250 is great. It's great. If you put all those people together in one night, that would be over 1,000 people. But then you're like, yeah, but why didn't 400 people come? It's like, oh, I don't know, Jen. I feel like the audiences were a little tight in Cleveland, I'll be honest. It definitely doesn't rank top 10 audiences I've been to this year in terms of like response. I feel like people were a little quiet. And the people running the club were like, yeah, the audience has been quiet lately. What's going on, Cleveland? You guys sad? You sad about something? I don't know what that character is. Are you sad that there's just clouds all the time when it's not sunny? It's either like sunny or just looks like Armageddon. There's like no in between. It's not like you're not going to have like a sunny, brisk, cold day. And that's what I'm realizing. And here's the thing that was driving me crazy. And again, I know people are just trying to be funny and make small talk, but I did a ton of morning radio and television when I was in Cleveland. And, you know, you talk off camera to people and they're like, oh my God, how do you like this weather? You're from LA. And I'm like, listen, I'm not some blonde dude that's like, whoa, what? And I just showed up in Cleveland with my surfboard and a tank top. Like, shit's different here, man. Like, I know about weather. Oh, I knows about weather. I mean, I know about weather. I travel the world. I know about weather. I'm from the East Coast. I have lived in weather. You ain't seen some of the troubles I see. Let me just put this. Whenever someone's like, oh my God, how do you prepare for this? I'm like, how do I prepare for anything? This is where I've gone in the last year, since September of 2013, I've been to London, Bloomington, Indiana, Brooklyn, Denver, Colorado, San Francisco, Boston, New York City 10 times, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Melbourne, Australia, Denver, Colorado again, St. Louis, Minneapolis, Austin, Texas, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Nashville, St. Paul, Minneapolis again, Chicago, Illinois again, Palm Springs, Dublin, Ireland, Palm Beach, Florida, New Orleans, Lund, Sweden, New York City again, Las Vegas, Brooklyn again, Toronto, Canada, Winnipeg, Canada, Minnesota again, Vancouver, Tacoma, Washington, Cleveland. Like, none of that has, none of those places go together, right? All the weather is crazy and different. I got my suitcase. I get every kind of clothes. I check the weather obsessively before I go. AccuWeather from the phone. I got it. I get every situation imaginable. I'm never thrown by weather when I'm somewhere. And I adapt easily. If I'm cold, I don't care, as long as I have a coat. That was the other thing. So people kept saying, oh, don't complain about weather in LA. I'm like, okay, but let me explain something to you. Like, I hate unintelligent conversation. I don't mean we have to sit around and talk about Russian literature, because I'm pretty stupid. I think I read, see, I don't even know. I know Dostoevsky, but I don't know, what did he write? I mean, I can look it up in 2 seconds, so don't email me, but whatever his book is, I read one of them. Okay, so I'm not a genius, but I feel like I can read a room for conversation. So, except this one right now, I'm making no sense, but these are the kind of conversations that make me literally want to take like a really stiff baguette from a grocery store and bang it over someone's head and just go, listen to me. So you're saying that you've had years of living in Cleveland where every winter you get throttled with negative wind chills, clouds, rain, darkness, snow, and you're sick of it, right? Yeah. Okay. I've lived in LA for 12 years where most of the time it's unseasonably warm compared to the rest of the country. Don't complain about that. But wait a minute. I'm complaining about the sameness of a thing that is no longer working for me. So I'm not allowed to do it. So I have to stay in LA because somebody is cold somewhere in Cleveland. I have to appreciate LA. No. Everyone has their limits. Right now, I don't know what I'm going through. I think it is the artists and American artists' eternal struggle. It really is. LA and New York represent the eternal struggle inside an artist, which is, I just want to get paid to do what I love so I can stop doing all these other jobs so that I have time to just do what I love and then I can be comfortable. Okay, so then now I got that and I got comfortable and I'm in a very comfortable home. Everything is so comfortable for me. Every little need of mine is catered to and I can pay people to take care of every little thing. Not on a huge level, but on a small level, you know, like, so now I'm like, okay, I'm really comfortable. I feel dead inside. It's 85 degrees outside and I'm not like Miss Beach Bunny. You know, I can't live that way every day. I'm not on vacation. I have work to do. So now I'm sitting inside my home where it's very temperature controlled and it's very nice, but it's 85 degrees outside and something feels wrong. I feel like the weather is not matching my energy level, which is low. I want to sit and be calm and write. And so that's why I'm missing New York. So I'm going to New York next week. I'll be there for almost 2 months and I will be writing. And will I be cold? And will I be like, this sucks when I wake up in the morning? Yep. But I think ultimately I'd rather be inconvenienced and like pissy than like lonely and sad and depressed in a tropical paradise. Not tropical. We don't have tropical weather, but in a paradise. Like, it's like island fever. You're just like, ah, it's too much nice. It's making me crazy because I can't even enjoy it. I can't bring my laptop in a pool with me. So I hate those kind of conversations, but anyway, but Cleveland, oh, so, I mean, it was like, you know, 35 degrees, 40, 35 to 45, like 35 at night, 45 during the day. I wasn't freezing, but I make my body warm because that's how you get sick. It's not good to walk around outside without a hat on. Like, keep your body warm. I mean, that's because I'm an acupuncture devotee and I go every week and I listen to the guy who performs it on me tell me about his ancient a Chinese woman that he studies from, and she says, like, sleeping with the window open is like a knife being, like, slashed in your neck in the middle of the night. And, like, women who wear flip-flops at night or when it's chilly out, like, when it's not, like, unless it's, like, 100 degrees and your whole body is sweating, like, wearing flip-flops can fuck up your circulation. It can make your menstrual cramps worse. Like, there's all kinds of temperature-related stuff in Chinese medicine, and I choose to abide by it. I think it's great. So far, it hasn't fucked me up. It's like when you're cold, make your body warm. Your body should always be warm. We are at 98.6. It doesn't want to be cold. So what I'm talking about, so I'm in Cleveland. Yeah, I'm going to throw a hat and scarf and coat on. I'm not walking in the street going, no, I'm just like, I'm keeping my body temperature the way it is. And these girls be like, why are you wearing a coat? I'm like, why are you wearing a tank top in Cleveland at night? Like, no one needs to see your arms. Are you Madonna? Put your arms away. Trust me. Everyone here is eating fried napkins. You don't got to show your arms. So, like, put the arms away. So many, these girls, there was one night after the show. I wanted to hang out with some of the managers at the club are people I've known forever. And we went out for one drink after the Friday night late show, which was still too much for me, but I wanted to talk to them and get a sense of how I was selling as compared to other people. And sometimes you got to kind of do the business. And so that was that. It was not like, hey, Jen goes out for drinks now after shows. Like, literally one. I had a Guinness. Like, and I never drink beer, but I'll drink like a dark beer because it's low calories. And it was like very warming and very filling. And so, and then I talked to them about some business stuff. And then as the business talk was over, these girls came in. And they were like, oh my God, I love this show. And they have like tank tops on. And they're like, why do you have a coat on? I'm like, because I'm not trying to get laid. I don't know. If there's a guy out there who won't have sex with you because you have a coat on in the winter, then he's a terrible guy. So put your damn coat on, ladies, and go outside. Are you trying to attract men? Get enough nonsense already. Just stop it. It's 1 in the morning. There's nothing good is going to happen. Well, not 1. It was like 12:30. Nothing good is going to happen at 12:30. You get my drift, just go home. So I went back to my hotel room. I left those girls at the bar. I was like, this is where I peace out. You guys can deal with her. Bye-bye. I go back to my room. I get a nice 8 hours. I'm up the next day. I'm trying to finish this book. I mean, my book it needs a lot more time. I'd love another 6 months. I've got 3. People are like, did you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Listen, I hope you're having fun in Cleveland. I don't know. It's never going to end. It's just people being nice. But it tortures me. I'm so sensitive. I'm such a sensitive comic. I just wish everyone would leave me alone and stop suggesting restaurants and stop telling me if I'm having fun. I have to perform where I'm told. I have to. If someone offers me money, I have to go. Even if I don't like it there, I have to go and I go. So don't worry if I'm having a good time or not. I'm having a good time on stage. It's what I live for. And then when I'm not on stage, I'm thinking about being on stage and I'm resting. And I don't care about anything else. Not all the time, but on the road. On the road, I go into warrior mode. And that's the other thing. Like in the winter, you know, like people get so obsessed with not getting a cold, their vitamin C. It's your digestive system. The nasal passages, what do you call it? The sinuses are in the digestive system. They're connected. So your gut has to be like a healthy swamp of probiotics. So, you know, take your probiotic pills and all that stuff and eat clean in the winter if you don't want to get sick. If you want to give your immune system, I mean, I'm in planes all the time with people's germs flying around and I don't usually get sick. I mean, I do a lot of stuff for it, you know. I don't stay out late. I don't not wear a coat. I don't drink and party. I give my immune system a chance. It's already fucked up from flying, being dehydrated, changing time zones. Why would I get wasted on top of that? It's just only going to hurt my living. I can't get a cold for 7 days. Maybe someone who just works in an office and comes home can. I don't know. I can't, because then I can't travel with a cold. It makes me miserable. And then I can't speak on stage. So I take really good care of myself. And I guess other comics don't, because everywhere I go, I have these 15 conversations with the audience member. Let's do shots. I don't do shots. I don't know how other people do it. I don't. I have to take really good care of myself. So it's like I don't eat cheese when I'm on the road. You know, I do totally like a vegan diet if I can, try to stay gluten-free. I'm not allergic to it, but it's just a lot of sugar. So it's just like sugar and cheese are the worst things you could eat during cold and flu season if you want to stay healthy. You know, they make your body produce mucus and it just gets crazy and it's like literally just like more mucus, more problems, right? Does any rapper ever rap about that? More mucus, more problems. So anyway, I'm just like, whatever. I just feel like when I go to climates where like the food isn't necessarily healthy and the weather isn't necessarily nice, I spend my whole time having conversations with people like, no, I just want the salad. No, please don't put a side of steak, burger, pizzas on it. Nope, this is real food. No, it's not. You know, it's just like enough. Oh my God, this has been the worst podcast ever and I haven't even started it yet. Do you understand me? So now into the positive stuff. So I'm loving Norman Lear's book. Now, if you don't know who Norman Lear is, All in the Family, Good Times, The Jeffersons, Maude, amazing. And I highlighted all these parts of his book. One of the most interesting parts to me, because as someone who works in TV, and I've pitched so many television shows, you know, why don't you have your own show? It's like, I pitch a show about myself every year. Does it get made? No. The new thing people in Hollywood say is, I can't wrap my mind around it. I'm like, you can't wrap your mind around a show about a woman who's 40, divorced, realizes she doesn't have a lot of true intimate friendships, and is trying to revamp her life. Doesn't want kids, but doesn't feel abnormal about it, and doesn't feel bad that she's divorced. No, I don't get it. Okay. Well, thank you for your time. Like, what is anyone talking about? You know, I see everyone I know with TV shows in the air, and I'm just like, how the fuck, you know? But it'll happen, like, in its time. I'm also not someone who's like, I need this to be happy, because I can be happy sitting in a pile of wood chips. So I've luckily conquered earlier in my life the happiness conundrum. You know, you can't be a buoy in the water. You know I can't help but say Baba Booey right now. You can't be a buoy in the water just floating around. You got to be an anchor. So no matter what the water is giving you, whether it's waves or smooth sailing, you're happy anyway, right? If you live and die by what's going on in your career, at least in show business, you're fucked because it's rejection every second. So every time someone says yes, 11 people have said no that day. So it's kind of like the balance is off. You just have to be like, I love myself. I love my life. I love what I'm doing. And I always like when people are like, why don't you have a show? They seem so invested and serious about it. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I throw some coins in the fountain. I play the scratch tickets every once in a while. Like, that's what I call pitching shows. Like, yeah, I play the lottery every once in a while. But the core of me is always going to be stand up and writing books and stuff like that. So if people want to get on board and turn what I think would be very easily turned into a television show, if they want to do that, great. I can't like feel bad about myself if they don't. I can only learn from it and go, am I communicating it correctly? Am I this? Am I that? Or is it just, you know, it's not my time? And that's another thing I believe in too is I never know when something could happen for me. And if my time isn't now, no problem. Right? So it's a lot of different things in play. But anyway, so I really love Norman Lear's book, but there is stuff in general, you know, even if you're going to be all spiritual and shit, there is stuff in general that you're like, this is so fucking maddening. Like, I know everyone thinks Hollywood is run by liberals, but I don't really understand that when Ronald Reagan has been president and he wasn't liberal, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor and he wasn't liberal, and Bruce Willis, and there's a whole group of Republican, like very family values people in Los Angeles. And there's tons of liberals too. Like you see Julia Roberts, you know, George Clooney, they have their Obama thing, but that's politics, right? That's like the who's who of Hollywood maybe trying to influence voters, which I think is fine because Hollywood's like our biggest export. And so we use it to influence the world. Why wouldn't we use it to influence our own people? I don't think it's that crazy, but but who really runs Hollywood is like focus groups and corporations and, look, here's a list of, focus groups, corporations, and like, what was interesting, what Norman Lear was saying is people, you know, if you look at, All in the Family. If you look at All in the Family, people are like, how did that even get on now? And what Norman Lear was saying in his book is executives, no matter what they are, liberal, right wing, they are so nervous of losing their jobs and all they care about is advertisers because that's how they make the money. And then advertisers care about people freaking out. So an advertiser, if they get 10 letters, let's say 10 million people are watching a show and they get 10 letters, like, I'm offended that you would advertise on All in the Family. I'm not buying your soap anymore. They're like, oh my God, shit, we gotta stop working with All in the Family. Like, there's no sense of like, fuck you. Like with comics, it's like 10 people a day tell us they hate us. And we're like, good, fuck yourself. We don't need you. And then we keep going. And nothing is affected. Our numbers don't decline. Our, you know, like nothing bad happens. But in Hollywood, people just go crazy. And so he was saying there were so many times he'd have to fight for a line to stay in a show. Like he was saying in the first episode of All in the Family, the character of Meathead, played by Rob Reiner, and his daughter, Gloria, they were setting the table for a brunch. And they're like, oh, we're going to surprise Mom and Archie when they come home from church with an anniversary brunch. But Michael's trying to get her to, like, have sex. He's like, come on, they're going to be at church for another 45 minutes. And she's like, Michael, we have to set the table. And so they're, like, flirting and setting the table. And then Archie and Edith end up coming home early. So they walk in the door, and then Michael and Gloria are making out in the kitchen, and Michael picks up Gloria. And so they're kissing while he's, like, picking her up. It's barely passionate. It's like sitcom kissing. And they walk through the swinging door of the kitchen and end up in the dining room. And they stand there not realizing they're being watched by Edith and Archie. And Archie goes, at 11:10 on a Sunday, Edith. At 11, you know, meaning they were going to fuck at 11:10 on a Sunday. And then they hear, and they're like, oh, sorry, hi, you're home. That was it. The censors, like the network was like, the advertisers aren't going to like that. People are going to complain. We have to take that, you know, we have to take that thing away, you know, we have to take that line out. And Norman Lear was like, then I quit and this will happen and all that. So like you had to play hardball a few times and it's just like, oh my God, it just is insane. And then so one interesting thing he was saying is people love to tell you what focus groups say. But if you've ever, I used to sit in focus groups because they'll pay like $100 for the day. And back when I was broke and not working, I would volunteer to do these focus groups. So you watch a TV show and you have a dial in your hand and you have to turn to the left when you don't agree with or don't like what someone's saying. And you turn to the right when you like it, because the new thing is that characters have to be likable, which makes no fucking sense. So what Norman Lear did is he sat in on a focus group one time, a focus group of people watching All in the Family, because it took 3 pilots to get it on the air and it took years. Years and years, rejected by certain networks, brought back by other networks, whatever. So he's like, I know people think this is funny. I've shown both pilots to like rooms full of people. Everyone loves it from all walks of life, blah, blah, blah. So he's in on this one focus group and he's watching the people and the results of the dial. They're cracking up every time Archie says something like racist or homophobic, but they're turning the dial to the left, which means I don't like what he's saying. But they're laughing. So it's like, yes, that is the power of comedy. You can laugh at stuff. Some of my favorite comedians, I absolutely don't agree with them. I don't like their views on a lot of things, but they make me laugh. If you can articulate your point of view, then you've got a fan in me. That's why I was talking about the thing with Michael Chae last week. I just didn't find what he said funny either. That was my second thing. Like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. I know some guys who seem a little bit sexist, like they're a little bit to learn about women, but they're fucking funny. And their point of view is so strong that I'm like, fuck, you know, and they're not hurting anyone with their point of view. It's very different. They're not like, women do this. They're like, I think this is stupid about that. So they're saying like, I don't understand this. And I'm like, ah, it's a bummer. You don't understand. But man, you articulated why you don't get it really well. And I'm dying laughing over here. So that kind of stuff I like, right? So he was saying, listen, if people are laughing, they're not going to write a letter. I promise you. They're turning the dial to the left because you kind of told them to. No one's going to turn it to the right and be like, oh, I loved when Archie Bunker said spick. You know, it's like that kind of thing. It's like, and these corporations are so stupid. Like, they don't understand that kind of thing. And so that's kind of what people are always up against. I mean, I'm up against that. I'm just saying that's kind of, it's a very interesting book and I really love it. So I've been enjoying reading that. Okay. Oh, it's called Even This I Get to Experience, which I think is a great name. So, so this is my last week in LA for a while. I'm doing a show. I hope everyone can come. I'm doing a show November 17th at the Nerd Melt Showroom. It's free. It's 7 and 9 p.m. It's a TV taping. Well, it's not TV. It's not going to air on TV, but Michael Ian Black and I were presented an opportunity to host like a late night talk show that's centered around giving people advice kind of thing. And so we were like, okay, we'll do the pilot presentation. And if the people that have presented us the opportunity want to pick it up, then it will be on your television. So we want a really supportive audience in LA to come down and laugh. Turn the dials to the left and left. No, just come and laugh and be part of it. It's really, it's very interactive. If it was a show that would be on TV, and that's what it's being pitched as. It would be a show that has audience interaction. So it's on my website, jenkirkman.com. I believe it's under tour dates. But you can also, if you Google Nerd Melt Showroom Los Angeles, and the show that we're doing is called Really Good Advice. So you can get on the list. It's free. It's going to be great. And, you know, you should be out of there within an hour 15 minutes at most. We're going to overshoot, obviously. If it was a TV show, I don't think it would be an hour show. But we're going to overshoot, and they'll edit it together. The network will decide. I'm not going to tell you what network it is. And then we'll find out. So that's it. I probably shouldn't have even have said that much, but I figured people need to know because it just seems like it's just another show. And then they're like, why would I go? Okay. Oh, so it was exciting. I was filming something yesterday for this, and I got to meet Norm Macdonald. And I am the biggest Norm Macdonald fan. Like, I love him. I think he was one of the first people I saw do stand-up. I think Anthony Clark was, but Anthony wasn't, like, famous when I saw him. I think he was. I don't know. Norm Macdonald was, like, you know, he's on Saturday Night Live. I think I told you that story that I went to see him at the Comedy Connection in Boston. And then I was so inspired. I went and like bought a plane ticket to LA or something, or tried to. So I've never met him. And I know like these dudes, he's like kind of old school SNL, you know, 50-year-old. I've been in comedy forever dudes. Like, I don't really give a shit if someone's like, I'm a young comic. I mean, I do. God bless everyone. But I'm not like, I'm like, okay, good. Like, oh, talk to me in 20 years. Like, so we can share like war stories and stuff like that, you know? So I didn't like, he just happened to be in the building because he knows the people I was working with yesterday. And it was like, they're like, oh, Norm's stopping by. Oh, pardon me. I didn't mean to burp. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm the biggest fan. I'm going to go crazy. And they're like, well, we can bring him in and meet. And I was like, no, I don't want to. And so then I was sitting in the makeup chair and then he came in and was like, hey. And I'm like, because they told him to come in. And I was like, Norm, I'm your biggest fan. And, I said, I saw you at the Comedy Connection in Boston 20 years ago. And he was like, oh, really? And so we kept talking. And I said, I told him, and this is normally kind of lame, I think, to do to someone. But I was like, I know this is lame, but I want to tell you about a joke you did that I still laugh at to this day. And I can't do it justice, but it's a joke that, you know, is in his cadence. And he takes a long time to say something. It's just basically a joke where he's like, his mother always told him, people are going to spike your drink with drugs at parties. Be careful, like not realizing that if he wants to do drugs. So he's at a party and he'd be like, I'm putting my drink down. It's going to leave it here for a while. Go to the bathroom for about 5 minutes if anyone wants to put anything in my drink. Like, it was so funny. Just the way he does it, it's great. And he was like, oh my God, I don't remember that. But he's like, that's funny. And he's like, what if, he was just like, what if you just did a bit once that could have been the thing that got you hugely famous? He's like, what if 20 years later, someone went up to Rodney Dangerfield and they're like, I saw you do this bit once about how you don't get any respect. And he's like, oh, I should have done that more. Like, and so it was nice. He was being nice and not being like, hey, honey, like, so did you just start out in an open mic? Like, that's what I love. Is when you say you're a comic and someone vouches that you are, then that's it. You don't have to prove anything. So then you start having the best conversation, which is, let's talk about awful places we perform. Do you do casinos? Yes. Oh my God, let's talk about the worst gigs. And then that's just the most fun thing to do. He was super, super nice. It was a blast and an honor to meet him. Oh wait, I had a point about that, about when you meet a comic and worst gigs. Ah! Oh, someone go into my brain and tell me what I was going to say. Oh, I can't remember. Sure, it wasn't important. Anyway, so I went to... last night, I stopped at this cafe in my neighborhood to get... It is actually called a cafe. The place is called... whatever the name of it is, cafe. I'm not like, I don't call restaurants cafes to try to sound French or something. So I went to this place and, you know, picked up a salad. Oh my God, eat something. And it was so weird. The guy behind the counter was just like all smiles. And he was like, don't you love today? And I was like, yes. And he's like, cause it was fine. It's finally like 60 degrees and overcast in LA. We've been having 100-degree weather. I know it sounds annoying, but I mean, every day for months has been really fucking annoying. It's hot. Like, you have to go through your life. And like, if you're really weighed down with heat all the time, I think it makes you angry and you're just like, you don't feel like doing stuff. So you can't even rest properly when it's too hot. You know, if you don't have air conditioning, that is a fucking nightmare. And if you do, then you're freezing. And it's nice to have just a pleasant 60 something degrees, right? I think we can all agree on that. So we were like, oh, this is great. And to us, it almost feels like winter. You know, it's 40 degrees lower than it was the last few weeks. So if that puts into perspective, what a relief that feels like. You know, we're not saying it's freezing, but so I was like, yeah, I do love it. And this guy's like, it just reminds me it's the beginning of my favorite time of year. And I'm like, me too. And then he's like, oh, I just got so happy. And I was thinking about my dear friend Jackie, who I used to live with in college. And she's wonderful. And she always used to do that. Like, have you ever just gotten in a good mood for, like, no reason? Like, you're in the middle of something, and all of a sudden, like, your heart leaps. And you're like, I just got, my friend Jackie would call it, I just got a burst of energy. I just got a burst of energy. And it might only last, like, a second. But you're like, ah, oh, I just got in a good mood for, like, a second. And so he had that about the holidays. And I was just thinking... like, I know the holidays can be such a bummer time of year for people, but that's what I was talking about like being the anchor and not the buoy in the water. It's like, you know, my family, we have the same drama every year, and it's stuff that is not funny to talk about. So I'm not going to talk about it on the podcast, in my act, in my book. It's actually real stuff, right? And it's a trauma and it's a drama. And there's always this specific thing that happens and involving someone in my family. It's just a thing, you know? And every year it's a huge bummer and it never really gets solved. And it's just like, ugh, you know, cast sort of a pall over things. You know, of course, there's all the pressure to buy gifts and some people aren't working this time of year and that's depressing or whatever. And if you had some goddamn asshole propose to you on New Year's or Christmas Eve, like these weirdos do, and your marriage didn't work out or you got dumped, then now that has all the weight of it on the Christmas season too. I get it. That didn't happen to me, but I've seen it happen. And I'm like, never do that to someone. So anyway, but my thing is, what I like about the holiday season, and I have no problem with it starting the day after Halloween. I really don't. Because you get daylight savings time starting the day after Halloween. And that goes until, you know, spring, duh. But so why not November 1st through January 2nd or whatever? So it's just 2 months of having festive drinks. We get some peppermint. We have some nog. We've got pumpkin. We've got ginger. We've got spice. We've got cinnamon, right? We add all those spices in our lives. Maybe you put some lights up. That's nice. It's dark at 4:30. I mean, if you go back to why they moved Christmas to that time of year. It was for the darkness. It's the darkest time of year, and it's about lightness in the presence of darkness, not religious. Even like pagan rituals celebrate that. So it's that thing of, I try to find the lightness in my own darkness, and there's a lightness inside of me, a burst of energy, a good mood that just comes over me, a happiness when it starts to calm down a little bit. You know, I love that time of year. I especially love it because in my business and show business, everybody goes away from Thanksgiving to New Year's, basically. So if you're trying to like get some things done and you want like the people that represent you to stop calling you with like things they need you to do here and there, you're like, oh, good. Everyone's going to leave me alone. You know, it's like this is nice resting period. And I love when I drive by and see Christmas lights up or whatever lights, any holiday, whatever, even if it's just non-denominational, just lights. I love it. Twinkly lights at restaurants. I'll give you an A-plus review. I won't even go in and eat your food. I'll be like, that's the best restaurant in the world. They have twinkly lights. I love it year round. So that's just my favorite time of year because it's like everything has a little extra sparkle, right? It's like everybody's wearing a fun outfit. It's like houses are wearing fun outfits. Trees are wearing fun outfits. It's fun. Everyone's in sequins and velvet. Come on. It's a fun time of year. Now, are your relationships destroyed? Is your family fucked up? Of course it is. That's why we're putting on velvet. Of course it is. Of course it is. I'm not going to sit around and wait for my life to be perfect to be happy because I'll be fucking, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I got to decide to be happy now. So I've always had a renewal of faith in just feeling good this time of year. I love it. I think it's cozy. I think it's sweet. I think it's welcoming. There's something about this time of year I don't mind. And I don't even mind the capitalist marketing. I don't give a shit. People have products to sell. You're having sales. There's ads on TV. Whatever. Who gives a shit? Don't do that before Thanksgiving. Oh, be quiet. Christmas is 4 weeks after Thanksgiving. People obviously have to put up displays so that they can sell. Some people buy shit in advance. I was on the road all last year. You know, and I had this one free weekend in October, and that's when I bought my Christmas decorations. I couldn't have done it the other weekend. So everyone just calm down, all right? So anyway, I love this time of year too, and I'm super excited about it. And I'm so excited. I can't even tell you how excited I am to be in New York. I'm so excited. I wish it was now. I'm like a kid counting sleeps. I'm like, 8 sleeps till I live in Brooklyn. Oh my God, I can't wait. 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 I'm so excited. And like my sister's going to take the train in and we're going to go to the tree lighting at Rockefeller Center. I have a lot of shows. If you guys live in New York, I have a lot of shows, but I'm going to be running around town doing like 10 minute spots here and there, working out new material. It's going to be for me a very working trip. It's like writing my book during the day, stand up at night. That's it. And I'll be performing at this comedy club called The Stand a lot. But I'm just going to tweet it that day. It's not going to be up on my calendar because it really is like catch me if you can kind of thing. I do know one thing. I'm doing a residency at Night Train, which is a show in Brooklyn that my friend Wyatt Cenac runs. And he said I could do a residency. I like that he put it that way. I wouldn't have put such a flourish on it. But he was like, yeah, you can be there every Monday and do your thing. So I will be, except for the Monday, December 8th that I'm filming that I'm taping the I Seem Fun podcast December 8th at Union Hall. Ooh, ooh. I think there are 15 tickets left. So please buy them in advance. They're on sale right now on my website, jenkirkman.com, tour dates. I'm going to make that podcast taping very special. It'll be very sweet. And don't forget, if the holidays bum you out, I totally get it. And especially if you hear, you know, Christmas music and you're like, oh God, I can't hear that frosted window panes. It bums me out. And I totally, totally get it. That's why, as I've said before, you can make your own Christmas music up. Remember last year I said this could be your Christmas jam. You can play this only during December. And you can decide, this is what I listen to during Christmas as I put up the lights. I'm going to put up some lights. I'm going to get the darkness out of here. Yeah, that's right. I don't have a date for any holiday parties. Who gives a shit? I also don't have any anyone bothering me to go hang out with their mother, right? So that's a plus. So I'm going to put some rope lights around my balcony. And I'm playing CNC Music Factory. That's my holiday. It's all about getting the light into the darkness. Can't fight darkness with darkness. Ah, oh, Merry Christmas, everybody. Here comes Santa. Oh, okay. She's insane. Speaking of that, so as I'm getting ready to make my triumphant return to living in Brooklyn, I was thinking, oh my God, it was the week before Thanksgiving. 16 years ago that I moved to Brooklyn for the first time. Just a young thing, just a 23-year-old or whatever the fuck 40 minus 16 is, 24-year-old girl. 24? I think I was 23. And now I'm going back, living in a small one-bedroom that really shouldn't even be called a one-bedroom, that is the same price as my beautiful, much bigger place in Los Angeles. New York, you screw us financially. But what an honor to be in. I think Brooklyn is amazing, too. It's one of my favorite places on earth. I think it's the most wonderful, magical cities. It's so full of life and history. And God, it's just, you could just spend a week there and see so many different things. It's as triumphant and majestic as Manhattan. But Taylor Swift, so I feel privileged. I get to live in one and go to the other a lot. Taylor Swift has been named the ambassador to New York City. And that makes me want to vom on my sock a little bit, because I'm unclear why everybody is embracing this. And I'm unclear why grown-ups I know are like, I love her new album. I'm like, what is happening? She's a child who makes music for children. But I love that New Yorkers weren't happy about it. But so they made her the ambassador to New York City. And what they're saying is, well, she hasn't lived there forever. And she's just some, like, you know, little waspy, wispy thing who's like, I love New York. And they're like, yeah, but she's just someone who came and fell in love with the city. But it's like, well, of course she fell in love with it. She's like a billionaire who, you know, is famous. Like, it's that thing of like, the thing she was naming she likes about New York, you're like, you're not even saying anything specific, you know? But I like that people weren't happy about it. I love, there was this article in the New York Post I was reading, because most people I know are like, that's so cool. I'm like, because she wrote a terrible song about New York. Like, why isn't Frank Sinatra? I mean, there's a lot of good songs about New York, assholes. One New Yorker complained she's a white bread out of towner who only recently moved here. Another snarks how she's the perfect choice for a city made over into a sterilized playground for suburbanites, tourists, and oligarchs. Another person preferred Jay-Z, because of his song Empire State of Mind, because it references cooking and pushing crack, which just seems more New York-y. But then other people are saying, well, you can't talk about the grime and the grit when you're trying to persuade people to come visit as a tourist. But that's the thing is, like, I understand she's trying to make it like, hey, even a girl like me can feel good in New York City. But it's like, yeah, but what are you doing exactly? Like, if you could put out a specific press release, that would be great. Like, do you even know what Lamella is in Little Italy, you dumb fuck? And I, you know, you gotta, well, I met someone who was like, it's Lamella, whatever that shit it is. It's the greatest Italian restaurant in the world, and it's an insane asylum. It's stuff like that. You gotta be specific, Taylor. You can't just write a song that's like, New York. We've understood already. It's been made clear to us in lots of different forms, usually music, that New York is a place that's hard to make it, but you can make it if you try it, because it's equal opportunity. And all the great immigrants of this country built New York, and blah, blah, blah. And it's glittery, and it's lovely, and the lights, and we don't sleep. We got it. We don't need you to weigh in on that one. Don't weigh in on that one. Maybe just tell us where there's like a good top shop that isn't that crowded. Can you do that? Can you do that? I think I should be ambassador to New York. You don't know what I was like when I left. I was like, get me out to here. I got to get to California. It's killing me, everybody. And then I was like, oh, I see what I missed. I knew immediately when I moved to LA, like, oh, ooh, I see. I gave up this for this. Oh, it's two different things. And a lot of the stuff in New York, a lot of the stuff I love about LA, you can get in New York. But a lot of the stuff I love about New York, you cannot get in LA. Make me ambassador, damn it. I want someone to make a banner. I'm landing at JFK next week. I want a banner that says, "Ambassador, welcome Ambassador Kirkman." I don't care if the car service I call, I'm going to tell them my first name is Ambassador. No, because then they'll just hold up a sign that says A. Kirkman. I'm going to tell them that they have to spell it out because I get confused. And I'm going to tell them my first name's Ambassador. And then it's going to say Ambassador Kirkman. Great story, Jen. One of your best. Is this the worst podcast I've ever done? I feel like I didn't say anything funny. Like, you should have some punchlines or, I don't know. Sorry. You know what? Whatever. I started talking about why was I talking about politics for? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, nor do I. I seriously don't care. I seriously don't care. I mean, I care. You know, ISIS is a horror show, and I don't know what the fuck we're gonna do with the. I don't know what we're gonna do. We're always gonna be at war with the Middle East, I guess. I don't know what we're gonna do, but it's like a fucking genocide over there. I don't know what. Who knows? That's all. That's my opinion of everything. I don't know. I don't want to yell at people on Twitter about it. I really feel like gay marriage and weed are going to save the American economy. So let's legalize everything. Jesus Christo. Legalize everything, mofos. Let's get some money up in here. Okay, as ambassador to New York, that's what I believe in. Then the next thing is every restaurant has to have twinkling lights. And I'll think of my other platforms. I just nominated myself, so I'm kind of like fresh to it. Okay, well, this has been fun. Until next week, have fun.